Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We are on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you. Father, as we come to the second session of this morning, we really just do ask that open up our lives again, Lord, to hear your word, and may our lives be changed in Jesus' name. I'm continuing to preach into this series on contending for the New Testament church, but I really just want to emphasize again is this aspect of contending. It's something that, you know, we can go through life and we can just go through with the river. And we can flow with the river. And if it takes us to the left, it takes us to the left. If it takes us to the right. But sometimes you've got to stand against the current, what is actually coming through. And you've got to swim hard. And to establish the New Testament church in your life, the outworking of Christ in your life, actually takes some faith. Take some outworking of belief and to believe those things and to work toward things. So I'm going to put a lot of things before you today and really believe as we grasp this and we take this as a reality that God has actually given to us, we will see it outworked in our lives. So the title under the contending for the New Testament church is Signs, Wonders, and Miracles. God is spirit. God is supernatural. Christ in you is supernatural. God is alive in you, and this is the testimony of the New Testament church. We all need to be living in signs, wonders, and miracles. Is that a reality in your life, in my life? I'm sad to say it's rare. It's not rare beef, it's rare. And we need to contend for this. And we see in the early church, this was a reality. We can say it belongs to a time of revival. But no, we must believe this. And it must be a reality in all our lives. I know there are many things why things don't happen. But we need to see miracles. We need to see healings. Because why? It's the testimony of Jesus that's within us. And we cannot just be living on our own thinking and thinking this will never happen. We have Christ in us and he wants to do it through us. So 2 Corinthians 12 verse 12, Paul talks about his proof of his apostleship. He says, I patiently did many signs and wonders and miracles among you. Paul had a revelation that God not only wanted to dwell inside of him, but he wanted to do these signs and wonders and miracles in and through him. It was the natural. As much as we love to go and make lovely food, we can naturally do things. We can create this outworking of signs, wonders, and miracles in our lives. Galatians 3 verse 5 says, God has given us the Holy Spirit and works miracles among us, because not because we obey the law, but because we have the Spirit. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, yes, we are born again, and Christ comes in to live in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, but when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, you didn't only receive power, you received the person God to dwell within you, to do this work in and through you. And I really want to encourage you today. There's the truth that God wants us to do as we walk in the Spirit. All of us have to walk in the Spirit. And we've got to undo some things to walk in the Spirit. And I want to read this portion of Scripture, and I believe it's a truth. As we read the Scripture together, and as we deal with this correctly, we will walk in the Spirit, and we will see signs and wonders and miracles flowing through our lives. So in your Bibles, Galatians 5, verse 16 to 23. Yeah, Paul's going through this whole outworking with the Galatian church that they have fallen and been bewitched by a wrong gospel, but he brings them to this high place where he can actually bring them to a place to live in the Spirit. So verse 16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those who are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh..." Now listen to this. This, we need to see these things can be working in our lives. The works of the flesh, that's the outworking of our bodies. The things that were residue in our bodies. And they come so naturally. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, which is witchcraft, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Now, so often we blame the devil for everything, but it's actually the flesh. It's actually the flesh that's actually doing its work in and through our lives. And we are not exempt from that. We've got to learn, and I'm going to teach you now, to crucify the flesh so we can walk in the Spirit. Because if you do not walk... if you walk according to the flesh, you will not walk according to the Spirit. And you cannot mix the two. You cannot mix oil and water. The one has got to get rid of. You've got to get rid of the one. And you've got to get rid of it. You've got to put the flesh down. We've got to crucify the flesh. And every one of us have had a testimony of one of these things or a few of these things in our lives. We have at times fallen into sexual immorality, impurity, the sensuality, idolatry. We may have even fallen into the worship of money, our homes, our families. We can worship our families. Witchcraft. We've all dabbled in witchcraft. In some time, you've read your horoscope, have you? You've dabbled in witchcraft. These are the things of the flesh that draws us into. Some of us might have gone to a fortune teller. That's witchcraft. We've fallen into these things. Anger. Dissensions, divisions, drunkenness, alcohol. Yes, alcohol is there, and yes, it must be used in moderation. I preferably say in the life of the church, we do not use alcohol. Yeah, why? Because we do not want anyone to fall in any way. Is it wrong to drink? No, it's not. But if you get drunk, you have a problem. You have a problem. Because that is the flesh that is working out. Orgies, that's the outworking of the sexual lusts and things like this. But here, Paul says, "I warned you and I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." What a warning. If we even come to Christ and we continue in the flesh, I never wrote these words, "You will not inherit the kingdom of God." Does that say you will not be saved? I believe you will be saved, but I don't believe you'll inherit the kingdom of God. You'll not receive an outworking of God's blessing in your life. You'll be restricted if you give the flesh its full vent. We've got to get into the Spirit, folk. And I want to just tell you, it's easy to put the flesh down. It's a lie to tell you that you cannot put the flesh down. Yes, it's an outworking. It's a decision to do, to work with the Holy Spirit, but you can put the flesh down. Every single one of us. But here it says, Paul gets to say, what is the fruit of the outworking of the Spirit of God in our lives? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So here Paul brings the church in Galatia to say, deal with the flesh that you can walk in the Spirit. Very, very important. It's a key thing to do. You can't just live in the flesh and then expect the Spirit to flourish. You've got to put down the flesh. And one of the key verses here is in Galatians 5:24. "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." I want you to see that. It's not about you crucifying it. It's been crucified already with Christ. You have to invoke its authority. Jesus has given you authority to put it to death. In Romans, I'm getting ahead of myself. Romans says, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we put to death the misdeeds of the body. Where does temptation come from? Does it come from the devil? Yes, it does. But it comes from your flesh. And every one of us that have come to Christ will continue to be tempted in these areas. Some are weaker than others, but you have to put it to death. And the only way to put it to death is to bring it to Christ because he on the cross has crucified those passions and desires, and you can win it. Because you see, when we get in the victory over our flesh, we start to walk in the reality of the Spirit. It says in verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So let's keep in step with it. So the truth of this matter, we can be fruitful in the Spirit when we have taken authority over our flesh and we walk in the reality of crucifying our flesh with its passion and desires, and we can walk in this freedom. So there's the first part, is that we've got to deal with the flesh. So this is a journey that we're on. So we start to bear the fruitfulness. But then the Bible gets us to a place, it says that we need to be filled with the Spirit. This is not just being baptized with the Holy Spirit to receive the initial power. It's to be continually be filled, because we cannot operate. We know we've got load shedding now, and we can't plug in to the wall socket and get electricity. It's the same thing. God, the Holy Spirit, hasn't put load shedding on us. He is of a continual supply, but we have to, in Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And that's the Greek word behind that is a present continuous, to be continually be filled. You are not meant to live this life in your own power and your own strength and your own ability. God has given you all the resources of heaven to live in the Spirit. We just have to believe. We have it and release it. Part of the words that Andrew is speaking about is we release it through our very words that we speak. We proclaim, I am filled with the Spirit of God. I am walking in the Spirit of God. I am bearing the fruits of the Spirit of God. You have what you say. The word becomes, you confess the word, you proclaim the word. It becomes a reality. And once you get this outworking that you've been filled with the Spirit of God, you start to see the Spirit of God working through your life like never before. And then the Holy Spirit says, now how do we start to work out the signs and the wonders and miracles? And I believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to give every one of us gifts. Every one of us. This is not restricted to the some and the few. Every one of us is, as the Spirit determines, but it's worked out in every one of our lives. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 3 to 11. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that incredible? Even the Holy Spirit gives us those words to confess Jesus as your Lord. He's got to give you that ability to do that. Now it says in verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Now I want to just share with you this outworking which is available to every one of us, that we need to contend for these things, folks. They're not going to happen if we don't contend for it, because you can be in any context and not allow it to work, and they are dormant. They will not work. But if you stir them up, the Holy Spirit will release them through you. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for common good. For one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All of these empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And I really want to encourage you here this morning. The signs and wonders, I really do believe, the fruit is a natural outworking of the Spirit in our lives. But to contend to see the gifts and the outworking, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, we have to work it out, and we need to believe and have faith. There's a preparation in wanting to do. There's a desire to be used. And I want to say these gifts are there for us to desire. God does not restrict that. We can shut the door on this and we can say, no, I don't want to operate in these things. But I want to just say, don't do that. Walk in the joy of doing these things. We need these gifts. They're not to pump you up, but they are a gift to the church. They're a gift not only to the church. They are gifts to the unbeliever. And God wants to manifest these things. God is not restricting these anyway. And I'm telling you, there are times in every one of our lives that we will need wisdom, we'll need knowledge, we'll need faith, we'll need healing, we'll need miracles, we'll need prophecy, we need to distinguish between spirits, we need to speak in other tongues, and there need to be interpretation of tongues. And I want to say, we need to contend for these things. From my heart, we're not seeing enough of it in this local church. Maybe we're sitting on our hands and not thinking it's a possibility for all of us. And I want to encourage every one of us, from the children's church to the youth to the life groups, we need to be contending for the outworking of the Spirit of God, because they bless the church. The church grows through that. You know, I don't want to do it because you're running out of time, but we can just wait upon the Lord. Some of us need a word of wisdom right now what to do. And here the gift is available, and it's in the church to wait upon the Lord, and the gift can be released. It's not for the few. So often in the life of the church, there's one or two that is contended for these things, and then they begin to operate, everyone depends upon them to operate in that gift. But I want to say every single one of us need to contend for the outwing. There are times where I don't think it's just restricted to one person, that God can release the gift through you. Maybe you are doing a project at this point in time. There's an aspect of faith that needs to take place. God can give you faith in that time to release. This is not just for the church. It's in your business environment. It's in your work environment. There's an outworking of it. There are times gifts of healing can be released. We know the gifts, it's not just gifts for all healings. It's different type of gifts, but they need to be released. And we need to contend for this fact. This is the testimony of the New Testament church going forward. And I'm sure everyone here sitting here today have gifts, and you even know what they are. But when did you last use them? When last did you last use them? I know in all of our homes, we've got appliances that are sitting in our cupboards there that we've been bought, and we never use them, and we never get the benefit. We got given a juice maker the other day, but it comes out now and again. But what a blessing when that thing gets going and the juice comes out. And I want to just say, you don't bury the gifts that the Holy Spirit has actually given you. Brigitte, if it's dance, don't wait for the church to rise up and tell you to do it. You release it like you're doing here on this morning. If you have the gift of prophecy, don't wait for us to say, come and prophesy. If God gives you a word of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, it's not just for the Sunday morning. It's in the people you work with, the people that you relate to, your family members. You'll be absolutely surprised how God will actually use you in one of them. This is not restricted to the one and twos. This is for every single one. Mom and Dad, you've come to Christ now. It's available even now for you to come through your lives. So I really encourage you, if you want to see signs and wonders, let's work with God. So I want to use this as an example. There's an example in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. This is Peter and John. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate at the temple, which is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms for those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, and as did John, and he said, "Look at us." He fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from him. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were being made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with him, walking and leaping and praising God. And all of the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one that sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement what had happened to him. Peter and John, yes, were apostles, but they recognized what they had within them, and they recognized the authority that they had. This opportunity arose, this man, the Holy Spirit must have stirred them in their hearts. I want to heal that man today. And then they did. They commanded in the name of Jesus to rise up and walk. Remember, it's a command, not even asking. Commanded to speak, and a miracle took place. The church was turned upside down at that time. How many people came to see and to know Christ through that miracle that took place? And God wants to use you to do that. It's not me, because I'm a so-called pastor that have all the gifts and the anointing to do it. It's you God wants to use. These were men that didn't have money. God used them, but they knew what they had. They had Christ within them, and God did this critical miracle. I was away with some pastors this weekend, and they've been contending for this too. They've been contending for healing to be a reality in this time that we live. I know we have medical aids. We have incredible doctors and the medical profession that can provide healing, but they are not the healer. We have the healer within us, and we've got his word, and we need to be speaking these words of life and healing into people's lives. And I want to just say to you, there's going to be opportunities today, tomorrow, every single day, where people need healing. You are God's vessel. They don't even have a medical aid, but they have you. And I want to say it's going to take you to have boldness to say, Lord, use me. I want to pray for it. We were driving down, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, we were down at, I think it was Kroonwald. There was a lady at the Wimpy buying coffee. And she came, and she was very tired, and she was hobbling. And the guy, Brad, with us, he said, can we pray for you? And he made a simple prayer. He didn't say, be healed. He said, the Jesus in me heal you now in his name. And immediately she was healed. She started to, and she started, what's happening? What's happening to my body? And she started to cry because God touched her. It was an obedience of an opportunity that came. Saul, I just sense God wants to use you in this area. Don't be scared. Don't be fearful. You've got his word. You don't even have to lay hands. Speak his word. And I want to say, it's not only for you, Saul, it's for every one of us. Allow God to. And I know some of you are battling with issues of healing. I can't understand that. But he still says, go and heal. In Mark chapter 16, God gives us an incredible commission. This is for us, not for just individuals. He said, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. That's the good news about Jesus to the whole of creation. And whoever believes is baptized. Yes, they're baptized into Christ. They're water baptized, baptized into the Holy Spirit. And these signs will accompany those who believe. You are believers. You believe in Christ. In my name, they will cast out demons. People are in such bondage, folk. They don't even know what a demon is. They don't even know the devil. But they're in such darkness, and they need to be set free. You have the authority to cast those demons out. You can set them free. And it's nothing fancy. You don't need a special ministry to do that. You can do it. They will speak in new tongues. That's an ability to be an evidence of Christ within us. And pick up serpents with their hands, and they will drink any deadly poison. It will not hurt them. That means the authority of darkness will not come against you and have authority to destroy you. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. It's our mandate. It's our mandate. Yes, we need to work with the Holy Spirit to do these things, but it's our mandate to do these things. And I want to encourage you, let's do what the Lord has commanded us. This is a commandment. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. The commandments is to love him, but also to go and do his great commission, to go out there and to set the people free. Amazingly, in the scripture, it uses will. It doesn't say maybe. You will. There will be signs accompanying in this process. So God has encouraged us over the years that we are church on the go, but we're not on the go if we're not on the go. We've got to be on the go. And I want to just encourage you, God has brought you to this context to get out there and go and touch people with the love of Christ and with the power of his word and the power of his Holy Spirit. In Mark 16, verse 19 to 20, verse 20, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message with accompanying signs. This is the testimony of Christ. Amanda, you saw that this week. The signs were there, the outworking of God's power. Every one of us. So I encourage you as we contend for these folks. Don't just let it say, oh, that was a nice message. I understood something more of the thing. I want to say contend for the outworking of signs, wonders, and miracles, and God will use you powerfully. Father, as we've heard your word, we ask every one of us, Lord, may we put our hands up even this morning, Lord, wherever we find ourselves. Give us boldness, but also give us faith. That, Lord, that as we speak your word, as we proclaim the outworking of your goodness, as we care and we love for people, that people would be liberated, set free, and come to know you as Lord and Savior. Amen. We're going to continue our time together as one of the outwork in the New Testament churches to break bread together. So I'm going to call Ivan, and Ivan's going to lead us in breaking of bread. And then we're going to take in that time for those. There are people here that we're trusting for healing. We're going to trust as we speak God's word into those situations that God will bring healing into that. Ivan, thank you.